Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Rahir Rahman, who is the CEO of Pangea. Hi, Rahir. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Karen, for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I think everyone probably knows Pangea, but give us the 411 on where you guys fit in the ecosystem and what you're doing these days.
Sure. Well, I don't think everyone knows us yet, but hopefully very soon. What we're trying to build with Pangea is a global value transfer platform. And what that means is, you know, the world of payments, in my mind, is separated in a number of verticals. And that goes in the spectrum from underbanked, from unbanked to underbanked to banked to early adopters. And along those different verticals, there are different products available to move money. And you have on one end of the spectrum companies like Western Union and MoneyGram, and then you have in the middle kind of companies like Zoom, and then towards the banks and early adopters, you have companies like, you know, Google Wallet, PayPal, and then even the emerging digital currencies like Bitcoin. So what we try to do is build a platform that enables the movement of funds across these different verticals, and primarily building an international platform, enabling cash-to-cash transfers, enabling bank account transfers, debit transfers, digital wallet transfers, et cetera. And in order to do that, you know, we operate within the payments ecosystem, and we partner with different multinational corporations and organizations that play within that ecosystem. And they can be processors, gateways, switches, banks, prepaid networks, et cetera. What we do is really create a hub. And by creating this hub, we provide consumers with massive distribution, so multiple touch points where they can go in and send their value whichever way they can. We provide a low-cost option, and we provide kind of a better user experience. And we believe that the combination of greater distribution, lower cost, and better UI will result in greater adoption by consumers.
So, Rahir, let me probe a little bit on that. What makes you different from the platforms that exist today and would describe themselves the very same way?
You know, I would say that a lot of people have, you know, described themselves, you know, in a similar fashion. I agree with you. But if you look to see what they're actually doing, most innovation in remittances, if you want to just focus on that for a while, remittances most focused in the last 10 years has really been on banked solutions. So you have a bank account and you send to another bank account. The leading pioneer of this has really been Zoom, which started over a decade ago. And that really caters to banked consumers. If you don't have a bank account and you don't have a debit card or a credit card, you have really limited options in ways to send money. And, you know, one of our first verticals that we're targeting is the cash-to-cash transfers. And right now, if you were a consumer living in Little Village in Illinois, in Chicago, and you wanted to send money home to Mexico, and you only had cash to deal with, you don't have a lot of options. Western Union and MoneyGram maintain their stronghold on the agent-based network. And that agent-based network is, you know, laden with infrastructure costs, you know, old legacy infrastructure costs, and, you know, an agent model, which is very expensive. What we're building is providing alternative cash transfer locations for consumers. So we would enable a consumer to take $200 to a retail location and transfer those funds. And that doesn't exist right now, Karen. In fact, you know, while we've been in the process of building our platform, there was an occasion in Miami when one of my employees lost her cell phone or her wallet, and she needed to receive cash. And, in fact, one of my other employees had to go to a Western Union and send that cash to her. There is really very limited options when you're dealing in the world of cash, contrary to what most people believe. You know, and I think that's where we believe there's an opportunity for innovation, and we believe Pangea will provide the first viable alternative channel for a Western Union MoneyGram customer.
Interesting. So, there are a lot of questions that pop to mind, but one of them is, what is your perspective on Bitcoin? Because Bitcoin is trying to basically do the same thing that you describe doing, which is building this global network where value can be exchanged without friction and at at a low cost. No one believes that it will be free. So give me your perspective, Pangea, and what you're doing versus what the Bitcoin enthusiasts say is missing and they're doing.
Sure. I think Bitcoin can be complementary versus competitive to Pangea. In my mind, Bitcoin is an alternative stored value solution, right? It's a digital currency, and you're able to move that value. I think a lot of people, there's been a lot of press on the challenges with Bitcoin. And, you know, when I think about it as an alternative form of currency, I think I see the challenge of it being whether it's a transactional currency or whether it's a speculative currency. And, you know, if I believe in what Andreessen Horowitz is saying about Bitcoin becoming worth $100,000, I don't know why I'd ever use it to buy a couch or a TV. And if that's the situation, then it's not really a viable alternative to cash today. And in the future, if you seem to own Bitcoin and you want to transfer that value, Pangea can facilitate it. So we view it as very complementary. In terms of kind of migrating consumers from real cash to digital, I think it's still going to be a process. And I think, you know, when I talk about that spectrum from unbanked, underbanked, to banked, to early adopters, you know, I view Bitcoin as starting on the early adopter side and, you know, people that have the flexibility and want to try a new option. You know, our initial customers start at the other end of the spectrum, going from unbanked to underbanked. And for those people, it's very difficult to give up cash. Cash has been king and has been a form of stored value for a long time. And it's what they trust and they can touch it, they can feel it. And, a lot of people have it under their mattresses. And I don't think those customers are readily going to switch out of cash into digital currency yet. I think in the long run, whether that's 10 or 15 or 20 years, yeah, I definitely think the migration can happen. But, you know, we deal with a different type of customer that has a different risk profile. And it's important to understand those limitations when we view Bitcoin. And, you know, again, I view it as a complementary product that we can facilitate in time.
Well, I think I was having this discussion earlier today with someone that I think everyone underestimates one of the great value attributes of cash is that it's so tangible. And digital, while we all think it's the greatest thing, it makes something very tangible that people value very intangible. The smartphone can give it tangibility because you can, in real time, look at what you have left to spend. But I do think that that is one of the reasons that cash is so beloved by people and why it's been around for thousands of years. One other question, and then we'll wrap up. What's the biggest challenge to building a global network? The world's a pretty big place. So where have you started? Where are you going next? And why the world? Why not specific places in the world where there are people who really are unbanked and would value your solution?
You know, Karen, most people think that commerce is global. And, you know, my experience having grown up in the developing world and the developed world is commerce is actually very local. And, you know, when we think about building a global platform, it requires a lot of customization that happens at the geographic level, region by region. And when I think about, you know, where we see the company going, we're developing partnerships in dozens of countries around the world. These are long sales cycles. These are, you know, billion-dollar companies oftentimes, and it takes a while to convince them of, you know, what we're doing and how we're going to do it, and requires them to have the imagination and the desire to do things slightly differently. A lot of what we do is repurposing existing technology to adjust it to enable the transactional commerce that we want to help facilitate. And I would tell you that, you know, besides developing the partnerships, which is something I believe we're very good at and has taken time and will continue to take some time, I think the biggest challenge in anyone operating in this financial services space is the regulatory environment. And the regulatory environment really changes geographic jurisdiction by jurisdiction. And the laws that apply for Mexico are different than, Honduras and Colombia, Nicaragua, et cetera. And in the U.S., it's state by state. The requirements are different. So this requires an unnatural amount of patience. We could have built a social sharing startup very fast, This is one that requires a lot more patience, a lot more capital, investors that are patient, a good team. You know, it's not often that, you know, in a startup, in the first 15 people, you have a bunch of lawyers who help you. And you know, on our team, we have lawyers who are on staff, and they come from great international law firms, and they're smart, and they're talented, and they have a risk appetite. And, you know, it's what I believe makes us different than most companies. It's what I believe, you know, the team will help you forge the way forward. We like to joke oftentimes that some of the things we do has first mover disadvantage, in the sense that it's, we're helping pave the way for an industry, and we've worked with some very talented advisors who come from the world of FinCEN and CFPB and all of the regulatory bodies we've worked very closely with over the last 18 months that we've been around. And, you know, I think when I think about the business and I think about the challenges for the next 12 months and 18 months ahead, I think about the partnership capability that we're building, the funnel and the pipeline, and I also think about the regulatory environment and how we're managing and navigating that process. And I think both of them are fundamental to the success of the business.
No question, and I think that is something that people underestimate in the part of the business that, that you're in. It's extraordinarily complicated because it is so different for every geography. There's often, you know, a lot of existing regulation that you have to comply with, but in many cases, you're asking for consideration for doing new things for which the regulatory environment hasn't yet contemplated. So there's often that that hurdle to overcome. Speaking of partnerships, who are you looking to partner with? What kinds of partnerships are you seeking?
So a lot of it has to deal with the ecosystem that I mentioned to you. So we work at a global level with major processors, major gateways, switches, prepaid networks, banks. So the financial institutions that would come to mind would be, you know, companies that, that operate, even in the U.S., if you were to think about companies like First Data, you know, the big banks, you know, the prepaid networks like BlackRock Network, et cetera. These are all the types of partners that we work with, not only domestically, but we're also working with at an international level. And we're very fortunate to have a wonderful group of advisors and a wonderful group of investors that have really opened up their Rolodexes and helped us develop those relationships. And, you know, my team has done a great job of nurturing those and growing those relationships. We all come from different aspects of the industry, and we bring our own Rolodexes. And I think we've done a really good job of developing those relationships. And, you know, at payments.com last year, I met a number of great partners, and we're looking forward to seeing some of them again this year and meeting some new ones.
Well, we certainly will deliver on that, and that's a great, great opportunity to wrap up. Rahir, it was really great to catch up with you and to learn more about the business. It's a tough business, but it certainly is one that's necessary and does a lot of social good in the process. So congratulations on all the accomplishments so far, and we look forward to checking back in with you after Innovation Project to see how things went for you there. Thank you again.
Perfect. Thank you so much.